coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Boy, we got a great show for you today. Man, I have been doing all kinds of stuff this past week, but I tell you, what we got coming up in segments 2 and 3, I found very, very interesting. We are going to have the owner and inventor of a new less-than-lethal product called Fast Strike. You can go to FastStrikeDefense.com right now and check that out while you're waiting for him to come on. But, oh man, we are going to have a really good conversation with Mr. Dave Duford, the owner and inventor of Fast Strike. Well, what have I been doing these days? Well, as you know, this is hunting season. You know, whitetail archery deer season right here in the great state of Michigan. And I have been out there just hunting my little tush off and not finding a whole lot of anything. I'll go out there in the morning or at night, sometimes both. And for the last 4 or 5 days, I have got hardly anything, hardly even any deer sightings. And I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong? Are they smelling me? Am I wiggling too much? Oh, you know, is it about me? Is it my personality? Do they not like me anymore? I don't know what it is. But then last night, I'm out there in my tree stand, and I'm sitting about 20 yards south of a scrape. Seemed to be an active scrape with about 10 rubs, buck rubs on the trees. And I thought, this has got to be a good spot. So I'm up there in my most comfortable tree stand, and just sitting and waiting. And, you know, I was doing some grunts with my grunt tube, and I got some response. You know, I had a deer grunting back at me, and then right about dark, one came in, and I could hear him splashing through the water, through a mud puddle, about a 2-3 inch mud puddle, because we've had so much rain lately. And he came right up to the edge of the swamp, and that little bugger would not come out. I tell you, that is so frustrating for me when they come up there and just tease me. And so basically I had to wait cold and shivering in my tree stand for an extra half hour while I waited for him to leave, because it was dark. Even if he came out, I couldn't have shot him. But then this morning I thought, you know what? I'm going to go out there early. I'm going to get out there about 45 minutes before daylight and sit there, just be quiet as can be, because they got to be rutting. I'm just not seeing them for some reason. And so I got out there, and I think I was out there in my stand probably about 6:45, something like that. And I waited and waited and waited, and finally about 9 o'clock, I hear a crashing behind me, and I turn my head, and there's a doe coming out of the soybean field into the tall grass, followed by a buck. A big buck, you know, an 8-point buck, nice tines, good mass, really wide. And I thought, oh man, he is chasing this doe. I am going to get my shot at the big time here, you know, and he's 50 yards away. And so I real slowly, like, situate myself around. I turn around, I bring up my crossbow, I got everything ready. And that doe, you know, she just froze. She didn't know I was there. She just stopped. And this big buck comes around, got in front of her, and wouldn't let her go into the swamp. And she would move to the right, and he'd move in front of her and cut her off. She'd move back to the left, and he would just kept cutting her off. And it's like, I can hear what the lady's saying. She's saying, listen, I've been up all night. Just let me get into the swamp and have some sleep, okay? But this buck was having no part of it. You know what's on his mind. So, you know, and he's grunting. You know, it's always fun and exciting with a, and this is, a 200-pound-plus deer. You know, that big guttural, grunt. And he just would not let her go into that swamp. So I take out my buck grunt tube, and I'm grunting really hard and heavy. And they're only 50 yards away. And, you know, I got the guy's attention. I got him to look over in my direction several times. But he would not leave that doe. She wasn't in heat yet, but she must have been just starting to come on. It's like she wants him, but she didn't know it yet. And, you know, he wouldn't leave her. It's so hard to get a big buck to leave a doe when she's getting ready to come into heat, because if he comes over to investigate me, she's going to run into the swamp, and then he's got to chase her down all over again. So, but they were there for almost a half an hour, just toying with me, just teasing me. And the closest they got was 50 yards. They'd go out 75 yards and come back. And, you know, the last 5 minutes, he chased her around that soybean field. And this soybean field is probably a 40-acre field. And I'm watching. They're sprinting. The buck is sprinting after this poor doe. And he chased her off into the sunrise, into a woodlot about 300 yards away. And I stuck around for another half an hour, hoping they'd come back. But they didn't. You know, and I so much want to be out there tonight to greet him. But, hey, as luck would have it, I've got one of my church safety teams that I'm training tonight. So it'll have to wait till tomorrow morning. But I'm thinking, you know what, I'm going to go out there. Same way, I'm going to get out there early. I'm going to dress extra warm. I'll bring a couple of sandwiches, you know, a Diet Coke or whatever. And I'm just going to set out there maybe till noon. Because I saw a stat recently where about 30% of all the bucks are taken between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. during the rut. But the vast majority of hunters, they don't hunt between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. But still, a third of the bucks taken are taken during that time. So, I mean, you know, who can sleep anyways, you know, when you're thinking about, well, you know, romantic things? Can you really blame the deer? All right, well, that's what I'm going to be doing. Next week, you have my word, I will tell you about the big, huge, giant buck that I shot. There, I'm under pressure now. Okay, let's get on to the news here and see what we got. Okay, as long as we're on the subject of hunting, here, this is from Fox News Channel, the outdoor section. It says, "Hunter shot in back by his beloved dog." Man's best friend, right? With friends like that, who needs enemies? There's a picture here. Cute dog. Looks like a lab. Sonny Gilligan learned the hard way that an old dog actually can learn new tricks, like how to fire a shotgun from the backseat of a pickup truck. You know, I grew up in a rough little town called Orangeville. You know, I think I was like 21 years old before I actually learned that it was against the law to hunt out of a moving vehicle. Everybody else did it, so I thought, well, must be okay. Gilligan of New Mexico's Doña Ana County was shot in the back while sitting in the front seat of his parked pickup truck during a hunting trip for jackrabbits with his three dogs, Charlie, Scooter, and Cowboy. They were west of Las Cruces on Thursday, the El Paso Times reports. Charlie got his foot in the trigger of the gun, and I leaned forward, and he slipped off the seat and caught the trigger, and it shot, Gilligan told the newspaper. It was a freak accident, but it's true. That's what happened. The shotgun fired by Charlie, a 120-pound Rottweiler mix, or presumably a Schottweiler, pun intended, blasted through the driver's seat and entered Gilligan's back, breaking several ribs and his collarbone. He was lucky to survive the freak accident, he said. I was very fortunate to get to the phone, Gilligan told the newspaper. The Doña Ana County Sheriff's Office first responders saved my life. If they'd waited 10 more minutes, yeah, like they didn't wait, they got there right away, I would have died. I lost so much blood. I know I actually passed to the other side just before getting to the hospital, but they were able to revive me through CPR and bring me back. Deputies and state police officials found Gilligan, 74, next to his truck after the shooting near County Roads B4 and B5. He was transported via helicopter to a hospital in El Paso, blah, 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 blah. He is expected to recover. Gilligan, who goes by the name Tex, did not return messages seeking comment. He was probably a little embarrassed. Shot in the back by a dog. Maybe he shouldn't be transporting his shotgun loaded with the safety off inside his vehicle. Just a guess. I don't want to be judgmental, but who knows? The three dogs, meanwhile, were sent to jail after the incident. The Animal Service Center of the Mesilla Valley, Gilligan joked. Apparently, none of the dogs are facing charges. That's good. That's just wonderful. All right, now we got time for one more here. All right, here's from BearingArms.com, you know, one of my favorite places. Some things to consider well before pulling the trigger. Most of us who own a gun and opted to list our reasons for having one would rate self-defense as being right at the top. Yep, me too. I'm definitely in that camp. Personal defense is on my list, right after freedom. It's important. Many of us have taken the stance that anyone who is in our house without permission is dead meat. This is, of course, for those of us who live in states with Castle Doctrine laws that permit the use of force during such occasions. Again, I've been in that camp. This is Tom Knighton. He's been on the show before. However, Greg Elifritz has some things for people to think about just before deciding that pulling the trigger is the right move for all seasons. Greg Elifritz, if you remember, he's an instructor. I think he's out of Arizona. But he did that handgun caliber test on what the most effective handgun calibers. Here's from Greg's article. It says, I hear it all the time from shooters I train. If someone is in my house at night, they are getting shot. My new students justify their actions by telling me how they know their house and are keenly aware of the difference between the sounds of a family member and the sounds of an intruder. They also tell me how they are justified under state law, especially in states that have Castle Doctrine. Here's the problem. Being legally justified doesn't mean being right. If you can avoid shooting someone, even where it is legal to do so, you should. Yeah. Yeah, if you can avoid it. You know, I agree with that, with a caveat. As long as I and my family are safe without shooting, I won't shoot. But if there's some doubt in my mind about whether or not one of my family is going to get hurt, then yeah, they're dead meat. I'm not going to take any chances, you know, with my family. Okay. There are tremendous complications that could arise once you pull that trigger. You will face legal scrutiny. You will likely be sued. Your gun will be taken for evidence. You know, all of this isn't true. Maybe it is in Greg's state, but here in Michigan, under our Stand Your Ground law, if you are not charged with a crime, you cannot be sued civilly. So, hey, one good thing about Michigan. Will you face scrutiny? That depends on the details, right? Many of your neighbors and friends will stop talking to you because they don't know how to act around a killer. You know what? Many of my neighbors would not stop talking to me. They'd go, oh, wow, Skip, heard you shot somebody. Tell me the story. I guess maybe that's the difference between living in the city and living in the country. I don't know. Have you ever thought about how much the crime scene cleanup will cost you? Well, that's another thing. It's not going to cost me anything. I've got firearms legal protection. FLP, if I have to shoot somebody in my home or my car, they'll come right out there and they'll do a hazmat cleanup and repair everything, and it'll be brand spanking new. Even if you do everything right and win in court, both civilly and criminally, you are likely to have to spend a whole lot of money on your defense. Well, not for me. Firearms legal protection. I don't want to sound like a commercial here, but boy, with FLP, I've got unlimited attorney fees and $250,000 bond money. So is it worth it? Set your ego aside for a minute and think about whether you would be. He's making a big assumption. He's assuming that because you shoot someone in your home, someone who's broken into your home, you're doing it because of an ego trip. Not for me. That's not how I feel about that. If I shoot someone in my home, someone, a stranger has no business being there. I'm doing it to protect my family, not because of my ego. I know I don't have spare 50 grand laying around that I want to donate to an attorney. Again, I don't have to worry about that. Okay, let me see here. Good article, just doesn't totally apply to me. Not a problem. Okay, just make sure someone breaks into your home. You know that they're the bad guy. Make sure it's not a teenager slipping in, after hours. Make sure it's not your spouse. Sometimes they sneak out and come back in. You know, I know that. I'm on my third marriage. Don't ask me why, but I do know that sometimes that happens. Hey, just be careful. Be careful, but don't take any chances with your life or the life of the people that you love. All right, we've got coming up in segments 2 and 3, we are going to have Dave Duford. He is the owner of FastStrikeDefense.com. They've got a great less-than-lethal product called Fast Strike. We're going to talk all about that, how he invented it, how it works. Boy, all kinds of good stuff. I think you're going to like this product. So I'd like you to stick around for segments 2 and 3 while we talk to Dave Duford. Great, great product. All right, while we're away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, so you don't have to pay for all that hazmat and the lawyer and the bail bond and all that good stuff. And then check out elitefirearms.us, call Larry Jackson, figure out how to buy the right gun the first time. When we come back, Dave Duford from Fast Strike Defense. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Today, as promised, we are speaking with Dave Duford from Fast Strike Defense. Dave, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hi, Skip. Hey, thank you for having me on. This is a real honor. I appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem, Dave. We thank you very much for being on the show. Now, you are from the great state of Montana. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's the greatest state, actually. So, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful place up here.
All right. It's a great state and just loaded with humility, so that's good.
Yeah.
Now, Dave, you're surrounded by mountains or plains? What part of Montana are you in?
We're up in northwestern Montana in God's country. We're about 80 miles from Glacier Park, so we're in the Mission Valley, which is all mountainous. We're on Flathead Lake. If you've never seen it or looked it up, you certainly should. It's the largest freshwater lake this side of the Mississippi. Absolutely pristine and beautiful.
Wow. Well, you know, I've been in Montana. Sarah and I went there on our honeymoon, but that was way down by Yellowstone, you know, so that would be the southwest portion. You're several hundred miles north of that, so it must get a little bit cold up there.
Yes, we have the best of both. We get about 2.5 months of summer that we really enjoy, and the rest is spring, fall, and winter being the majority.
Yeah, it sounds like northern Michigan to me, but I'm in southern Michigan, always been a bit of a wuss when it comes to the cold weather, but So, Dave, you have got, you own Fast Strike Defense, and, you know, one of my students, my concealed carry students, sent me an email asking about Fast Strike, and I didn't know anything about it, and I thought, well, you know what, you know, I looked it up on your website, and it looked like it had some potential, so I thought, man, I better get this guy on the show so we can talk about, you know, some less than lethal force options here. Dave, why don't you start out by telling me a little bit about Fast Strike Defense, your company?
Okay, so Fast Strike Defense was born out of a need to produce a self-defense item for my daughter. She was heading down to Vegas, and she's a, you know, small-town girl up here in Polson, and I was very worried about how she could defend herself. So I created... There's a story behind how I created the product and what I looked at to do it, but the bottom line is I created the Fast Strike product, which is basically
Dave, tell us the story. I'd like to hear the story behind that. We have time.
So she was heading down to Vegas, and you know, of course, like any father, worried about the security of their daughters. So she didn't have a gun, and so I gave her a small knife, and I just said, you know, if you have to use this, you have to use it. Just do what you got to do, and we'll worry about the legalities and all these other things later. And then I got to thinking about how stupid that kind of comment was, and that there must be a better way for her to, you know, the goal was basically to get away. It's not to kill anybody. And so I started looking at all the different products that are out there, the fighting sticks, the nunchucks, the pepper sprays, you know, tasers, stun guns, all of them. I kind of went through all of them. And all of them had, you know, some drawbacks. You know, stun guns, they're, I think, mildly effective to people who hear them, I think, are scared of them. But that's a close quarters weapon. You have to be literally in contact. Tasers are awesome, but, you know, there's a bunch of stuff there, too. Pepper sprays, empty canisters, blowback, you know, bottom of your purse, all that stuff came into mind. Fighting sticks are horribly complicated, as are nunchucks and all these other things, all this special training you have to have. So I started messing around with it and basically just started working with these whips and started to figure out how to build them, what worked, what didn't work. And it probably took me 6 months to get something that really worked pretty darn well. And so I kind of honed in on that. And then, of course, you know, you have the whole patent issues, the business issues that you have to start up. So, you know, when people talk to me about it, I say invention is – such a small part of the equation. I've been doing this inventing thing for 25 years with a bunch of guys around here that I've worked with forever. And this is the first one that I've done, just jumped out on my own in a whole different category of product. And so very familiar with it, but the point was, you know, invention was a small part and everything else is the big part. How do you get it sold? So and the bottom line is I created a product that is very, very good. I mean, it's not the perfect self-defense weapon by any means, but it's very, very good. The whole goal was simple self-defense that virtually anybody can use without any special training or learning a whole bunch of elaborate techniques. Mm-hmm. And this whip does that. It's short enough to where you can control it without self-striking, long enough to give you good striking distance from your attacker, and the biggest thing with this thing is it's so fast. You can't see it coming. There's really nothing to block. If you put your hands up, it's going to break fingers. And then there's really nothing to take away as long as the user doesn't let the bad guy get their hands.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can just keep blasting people. So it's one of those things that on a bench, you know, we go to gun shows and trade shows, sitting on the table, it does not look like much. People kind of say whatever until I hand it to them and tell them to tap the back of their the bony side of their hand. And then I'll put a full-blown strike on my striking dummy, Bob, man, they get it. It's very powerful.
Folks, we're speaking with Dave Duford from Fast Strike Defense. He's talking about a new self-defense product that he has invented all on his own. Now, Dave, exactly what is it? How does it work? You know, how'd you get the idea for it? What kind of damage does it do? Tell us some more about the actual product.
So from a, again, it's a spring steel whip. So Inside a spring steel outer case is a stainless steel braided cable. So you have the outer portion of the spring port that gives it all that speed that is so beautiful. And then the cable inside gives it a lot of strength. So it's like getting hit with a steel rod that's moving at an incredible rate of speed. So what kind of damage will it do? We have videos out there on YouTube that people can look at. I had to have my daughter hit me across the back with a thing.
Oh, that was you. I watched that video. I thought, who could they get that was dumb enough to let them get hit like that? And it was you, Dave.
Yeah, the dumb enough part really applied. But, you know, we had to do that because, you know, you get all these people who are naysayers and telling you your product's garbage and whatever without ever having to try it or touch it or feel it. So, you know, if they're saying through clothing, it wouldn't hurt. And so we just said, okay, well, let's pull the trigger on this. Shay was supposed to hit me at a full swing, and she just couldn't do it, luckily enough, but it put one heck of a welt across my back.
Yeah, I saw
just
the,
a partial
the welt,
swing.
Dave. Yeah, that was just, you know, there's no doubt that the tool works. You know, and when I was watching your videos on your website, you know, I wondered if that might be the girl doing that might be someone that you know, and turns out that was your daughter. She has black hair. That's the girl,
yeah.
A young girl?
Yeah, my daughter,
wow.
Shalana.
That is just awesome.
Yeah, and she is very good with this. And you know, it doesn't take a bunch of training. Like with anything, you got to practice a little bit. But without virtually any training, people can put one heck of a blow on somebody. And like I said, if you hit somebody across the hands with this thing at a full swing, it is going to devastate their hands. It's going to break all their fingers. So when I teach people about this product, I say their hands are your targets.
Yeah.
You know? Hit them in the head maybe once or something, or get them to cover up their head and just go to work on their fingers. So it's very, very effective in terms of a striking tool. And then what people don't really realize is the back end of the handle is a phenomenal striker on its own. It's the plastic is a really reinforced plastic material, so it's super strong. We pound it on the concrete just to demonstrate how strong that plastic is. It won't break.
Mm-hmm.
So for a close quarters combat situation where the attacker won't stop or they grab onto you, bam, the back end of the handle, all you got to do is just roll your hand over and just go to work with that thing, and it is devastating. Shots to the, you know, the anywhere in the pecs or the jawline, throw it in their ear, you know, any of those is just going to just be a crushing blow.
Yeah, have there been any actual self-defense situations where people have used this to protect themselves yet?
Yes, actually there have been. And again, I would say these are people who have written into us with testimonials, and we actually have them on our website.
Oh, great.
The one guy basically said, you know, this product saved his life. He was walking his dog in his neighborhood, and it went to the bathroom on a vacant lot next to this guy's house, and this guy just went crazy. Came at him with a tire iron, and the guy wouldn't stop, and he put him on the ground and beat him into total submission with this thing. And then called the police, and the police showed up and said, you know, what do you use on this guy? And he showed him, and, you know, it's the whole point of, it's so fast, and you can't even see this thing coming. It's moving so fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, the tool is not meant to kill anybody or knock them out, or it's meant to be total pain, and just to get away. That's the whole point of the tool. So at these gun shows, I get a lot of these tough guys who, you know, I have my fists, or I pack a gun. Well, you know, that's not the point. So I can pack a gun too. I just don't want to use it. And I know most ladies that have them won't use them either.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, the alternative to non-lethal is a step. The first step that you need to do to protect yourself. Going to the other levels is a place that nobody really wants to go.
Yeah. Well, that's
true.
Really
have to.
That's true. Dave, I've noticed with, you know, just a vast amount of my concealed carry students, I mean, they're there because they don't see any other alternative. You know, it's like they'll do backflips, hang upside down, drink a glass of water, just so they don't have to shoot someone, and there's just this incredible hesitancy. So, you know, this is a good alternative as I see it, you know, because 85% of all altercations do not rise to the level of deadly force. So, you know, most of the time you can't use your gun anyways, but you got some guy up there in your face. He might be pushing you, shoving you. He wants to fight and you don't want to fight. Boy, I can see where, you know, this could really, you know, be like the mother of all cold showers to somebody. And is it mostly women that are using this, or you get a good response from men as well?
Oh, it's a great response from men. I go to these gun shows, and these guys are packing my product around. I know, and a lot of these guys are retired military dudes. So it's not just, you know, these people who are weak, and they're people who understand self-defense. They say, you know, I could shoot people all day long, but I don't want to do that, and that's a horrible place to be. So they look like anybody else for viable alternatives. So our customer base is, I would say, a lot of men buying them for their wives and daughters. That's a huge part of it. And the other part are men buying them for themselves. I mean, a lot of men buying them for themselves.
You know, I was thinking about that for my wife, Sarah. I mean, she carries a gun, you know, but a lot of people, they're not totally clear on the laws of deadly force. And they don't want to do it in the first place, and that makes them hesitate. But if they've got something that they can use that they know will not, you know, end someone's life, I think they're more likely to actually pull it out and use it for self-defense.
Yeah, that's a true statement. Right, it's right on. And I'll throw one other thing out there, and not that I advocate, you know, any harm to animals, but most of the reviews that we receive on our product are from people who walk dogs, and they have the big free-ranging, free-roaming dogs that are really aggressive coming after their dogs, and that's what they use this product for.
Wow.
You know, the thing only weighs 3 ounces, so it's super easy to carry around, but when these big dogs come charging up, they might slap them across the nose, and they're done. I mean, we've had so many reviews on dog issues like that. People are really
out. Dave, we're out of time for this segment, but I'd like to bring you back for the third segment here. Before you go, tell people how they can go ahead and get your product. Where can they go?
So you can go to FastStrikeDefense.com, and that's our website, so you can order on there. All transactions are handled through PayPal, but people get that confused thinking they have to have a PayPal account. You do not. It just means it's secure transactions. You can pay with a credit card easily. Option B is if you want to call in, you can call 406-813-0442, and we can take credit card orders over the phone.
FastStrikeDefense.com. Okay, folks, we got a 2-minute break here. While we are away, go ahead and check out FastStrikeDefense.com. When we come back, we'll speak more with Dave Duford from Fast Strike Defense about his great product. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. There's your host, Skip Coriel. Here we are in segment three, and we are speaking with Dave Duford from Fast Strike Defense about a great new less than lethal product that he has. Now, Dave, you were talking about, basically aggressive dog defense. And, you know, I've always carried, you know, pepper spray or pepper gel with me, you know, when I go walking around the block for something like that. But you know what, whenever you're dealing with, you know, capsaicinoids and things that are under pressure, you know, sometimes flat out they don't work. Sometimes, you know, the wind affects them and all kinds of stuff like this. This is something that's really pretty much going to work first time every time, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We designed it to where if you look at the product, you can carry it a couple of different ways. It's coiled up, which shortens the carry distance by over half the length, or you can carry it extended like I do, so it's always ready. But there's no safety on it. It pops open like a spring, and you go to work. And there are no batteries. There's no compressed air. There's no anything. You just swing that product, and that's it.
Yeah.
So it's very simple product.
Dave, one of the things that I was thinking as I watched the video of your daughter, going to town. I think it was on like a pumpkin or something like that. And, just carved that thing up. But what mm-hmm. it looked like to me is it kind of looks like, you know, like the cables on my lawnmower, my rototiller, that yes. engage. Is that the same type of material or not?
It is. It's just a stronger version of that. That's part of the build. There's several components that make it work well that I, you know, like, as you know, product development is trial and error. You try something, it fails, you figure out how to make it better. And so there's several components in there that make that function well. If you just took a piece of that cable and tried to do something, it's just going to be floppy and it's not going to work. So mm-hmm. cable tension is incredibly important, which drives how fast the product reacts. And how you're able to carry it, and I can get into that in a little bit. But so, you know, it is that type of a material. You are correct.
Dave, what I was thinking, when you actually look at this thing, it looks very benign and harmless. It's not that big. It's not bulky. If you were just to walk with that in your hand at the ready, you know, through a parking lot, people wouldn't even give you a second glance. Whereas if you were to walk with a gun, it's like people would be dialing 911, but they don't even know what this right. thing is. So you could walk with it at the ready whenever you wanted to, and nobody would even bat an eye at it.
Correct. Yeah, and I take that thing everywhere. If I wear it in the 4 o'clock position just off my right hip because I'm right-handed, and in that place with the striker down inside my pants along my leg, you don't even know it's there. So all you have to do is draw it and smash it. I mean, it's almost invisible as long as you keep it back just behind you. I mean, it's, like I said, it's 3 ounces of pain is all you're really packing around.
Do you need a holster for it, or, you know, how do you tuck it into your belt? What do you do?
So the way that we recently, I should say about 1 year ago, Christmas, 1 year ago, roughly, we developed a Gen 2 model. So the original Gen 1 could only be carried in the extended position, which I carried at, like I said, 4 o'clock inside my pants, which is really comfortable. Or I advocated to stick it on a belt, and that's a very easy carry and very fast. So you don't loop it through your belt loops. The belt is on through your belt loops, but the whip is outside of that, attached to the belt. Because the thing's a spring, it wants to be open. And so to have it not print so bad, you attach it to the belt keeps it tight to your body. You only have to draw about 1 inch and it's live. But for women, that was more of a problem, right? So they want something more compact. So we created the Gen 2 version. And all we did is put a hole in the handle and soften the tension just a little bit to get that cable to bend. And if you look at the image on the website, you'll see that the tip just tucks back into the handle and it makes just a little loop. Mm-hmm. To deploy, it takes literally one finger to pop it open because it's just in there under spring tension. And so you can just throw it in your back pocket, into a coat pocket, my daughter carries it in her purse, and it's just the handle sticks out. So it's not going to get lost in the bottom of your purse either.
Yeah.
Kids at college and those kinds of things, we just say, you know, clip it to the outside of your backpack. It just hangs there like a strap. And you can see some of the images on our website of that as well.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you're going to, you know, when you talk about a weapon, you know, you've got all these weapons free zones. You know, it's like one of the big drawbacks with carrying a gun is there's just a lot of places that you can't take that thing. And so you go there defenseless when you really shouldn't. So I would see this as a really good option, for places where you're going with a pistol free zone or, you know, someone's getting in your face. It just seemed like a really good idea for men and women. I mean, and another drawback of firearms is you have to keep such tight control over it. I mean, a gun in someone's purse can be, you know, taken away from them. A kid can get a hold of it and shoot themselves or someone else. There's just much bigger stakes than something like this. So, but this thing must cost a fortune. What do you retail this thing for?
So they sell for $22.95 each, and then we charge $450 for shipping. If you buy one, it's $450 shipping. You buy five, it's $450 shipping. So, you know, we don't rack up the shipping charges like a lot of people do. So, $22.95 is a great price for a very effective self-defense product.
Yeah. Actually, I'm surprised. It's not much at all. Now, I think I saw one in black and one in pink. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. As with everything, people want, you know, fancy blingy colors, or I should say, some people do. So we had to kind of offer something for the Christmas time last year. So we ordered up a bunch of the hot pink and they sell okay. But, you know, most people prefer the black. So it's not something that's seen and, you know, flashy. They want it to be hidden.
That makes sense. So, now, Dave, you know, guys like me, concealed carry instructors or personal defense instructors, martial arts instructors, do you have any type of a program where we can, you know, buy those from you and resell or not?
Yeah, I do. I wholesale to several places like that you just said, not only in the U.S., but in Canada. And now just recently we started shipping to Europe. So my distributor there is just about set up. He should receive his shipment any day. And he's going to service, Europe. So we're trying to expand out to South Africa and all of Europe right now. Distributor set up. So yes, if anybody would like to distribute the product, they can give me a call, to that 406-813-0442 number and we can discuss the terms, or they can email me at faststrikedefense@gmail.com.
Well, you know what, Dave, I'm going to talk with you, off air about that, because I think that's something that my students would really be interested in, you know, especially women. I think women would really like this, and I can just see my wife carrying one of these, you know, as well, because we have small children, and the big fear there is the kids are going to get a hold of the gun. With this, they might make someone angry or hurt someone, but they're not going to kill anyone and not going to kill themselves. So I see some real possibilities with this. Now, Dave, the question I have is on what about the legality Have you found any states or jurisdictions where they've determined that fast strike is against the law?
No, we have never been told that by anyone. On our website, we clearly state that because the laws are so varied in every state and every county, for that matter, that if people are concerned with that, they need to talk to their local authorities. And when what we state to them is they need to make sure that they tell their authorities that this is classified as a whip, just like a bullwhip, just like a horse crap. Canadian Border Services classified it that way. The U.S. government has classified it that way. So it is not a baton. It is a whip. So, you know, having said that, again, back to people need to, if they're concerned about these kinds of things, they need to check with their local authorities. And, you know, that's all the best I can do in regards to legalities.
So, Dave, are you telling me that I could put one of these in my glove box or console or back pocket or whatever, and I could drive across the border into Canada and they wouldn't be strip searching me and confiscating and arresting me or anything?
Well, the Canadian Border Services has done a product review on that and provided us with a classification number, which is 6602 is the product classification code. And so they have deemed that this is a whip. So, that's how I would state it. Now, like with TSA or you never know who you're going to get and what they might say, but
you're right.
but the reality is this has been classified as a whip. We did the product review with Canadian Border Services and it is a whip. So, you know, if they will allow, you know, those kinds of horse crops, whips, those kinds of things through, you should be fine. But I certainly can't guarantee that. Even with TSA, you know, we've been on multiple flights all over the country and actually even internationally where we've had them in our check bags and in addition under our carry-on bags and never been questioned. On the same hand, my daughter flew from Seattle to L.A. recently and did get hers confiscated. The guys didn't know what it was, so they talked to him about it and they said, oh, let's just not take it. You know, flip of the coin.
Well, you know what? At $22.95 a piece, you know, let them take it. I mean, it's cheaper than most jackknives of any quality. So, you know, Dave, I really think that you're onto something here, and I'm gonna be getting a hold of you, and I'm gonna get some of those and see how they play with my concealed carry students because. I see some real possibilities for this. You know, another thing that came to mind for me was all, you know, there are so many threats coming to our families and to individuals from so many different directions. I mean, you've got, you know, mass shooting events, you've got, you know, regular muggings, you got carjackers, you know, you've got, you know, even like riots now, you know, Antifa riots and things like that. And boy, it would be useful in scenarios like that. So I'm definitely, I got to get one for myself. I've got to try it out and see how my students like that. So I think you're onto something, Dave. I really do.
Well, thank you, Skip. I would tell you that I'm excited for you to get one in your hand and to feel that this thing, because what you're going to be amazed how light it is, but that spring action. People have told me, make them longer, you know, put more weight on the tip. But all of those things slow this thing down. The longer they get, the slower they react. It's the speed of this thing that's so amazing.
Yeah.
And in regards to your concealed carry classes that you teach, I'd recently went to was invited up to a women's firearm academy up here up the road, and taught to 20 to 25 women in the class who had never even touched this thing, never seen it. And, at the end of the class, we let everybody take a shot at Bob. And I was amazed at how well, without ever touching or using this thing, that these women could deliver effective strikes, fast and effective strikes without really any training. And that's the whole point of the tool. You don't have to learn a bunch of elaborate techniques to be, you know, effective.
Well, and poor Bob. Bob's not a relative, is he?
Bob is my striking dummy, Bob, and he's a good sport. He gets a whooping every day.
All right. Dave, tell us again, what is your website?
FastStrikeDefense.com. com. And again, you can call in phone orders if you would prefer to do that at 406-813-0442. In addition, we also take money orders if people are inclined to go that way. And the address is on our website, but it's P.O. Box 463, Polson, P-O-L-S-O-N, Montana, 59860. And again, people can call in and ask questions, and happy to walk them through using it and where the videos are on YouTube. You go to YouTube, just in the search bar, type in Fast Strike Defense, and a bunch of our videos will come up, along with a bunch of reviews from several different martial artists and just guys who have received it and really like the product.
Awesome. That sounds great. Okay, Dave, you will be hearing from me about this, because I want to get one of those and try it out and see if we can spread the word. So, Dave, again, that's FastStrikeDefense.com. Dave, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Oh, Skip, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, and it was a good experience. All right, thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Not everyone who meets me can say that, so that's good. All right, we've got a two-minute break here, folks. While we're away, go ahead and check out FastStrikeDefense.com, and then also check out our other sponsors, ElitePirearms.us, and then FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book, by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
A high-speed pursuit with California Highway Patrol officers behind him apparently wasn't enough trouble for a reckless driver out west. After the chase, which reached speeds of 105 miles an hour, it led to the loss of control of the car. The driver exited his vehicle and fled the scene on foot. Soon he came upon a home. He grabbed a beer bottle he had found on the ground and forced his way into the home, whereupon he threatened to do harm unless the residents turned over the keys to their car. A woman in the home retrieved the keys from another room. When she returned, she gave them to the man, and she had a surprise, a handgun. She handed the gun to her male friend, who aimed it at the intruder and told him to stop. The perp refused this sound advice and instead went into the garage and started the car. Later, he drove it towards the resident, who shot him to death through the windshield.
Thanks, Colonel. This story is an unusual scenario and very interesting. First, let's talk about the woman's response. I think she was near flawless. She kept her head, cooperated with the criminal, and went to get the keys, but she also had the presence of mind to get her gun as well. But then she gave it to the man of the house, probably because she either didn't know how to shoot it proficiently or because she wasn't willing to use deadly force on another human. Whichever case it was, she did the right thing in handing off the firearm. However, I would urge her to get some handgun training and to begin the process of developing a warrior mindset so that next time this happens, she can cut out the middleman and shoot the bad guy herself. She handed off the gun, but apparently the male resident wasn't comfortable with using deadly force as well. He allowed the fugitive to get into the car and to begin driving away. I suspect he got in the way of the escaping vehicle and was almost run over, thereby prompting him to shoot through the windshield. I'm not saying this was wrong, but here's my question. Wouldn't it have been better to shoot him inside the home before he was in the car and driving away? And here's why I say that. Number one, shooting an intruder inside the home invokes castle doctrine laws, which give you more legal protection than outside the home in your driveway or in the street. Two, it is much easier to shoot a man holding a broken beer bottle out in the open than it is to shoot a man inside a moving vehicle. Three, the armed resident put himself in unnecessary danger by stepping in front of a 3,000-pound bullet on wheels. He could have been killed quite easily. And four, shooting inside the home would have caused damage to drywall or maybe a lamp, but shooting through the windshield on your car is going to cause a lot more damage. Now he has to replace a windshield and repair other damage to the interior. But I think the most important lesson here is decide ahead of time when you will use deadly force and when you won't. A man inside my home threatening my family with a broken beer bottle? That's a no-brainer to me. I think the proper military term to use here would be fire for effect.
Thanks, Skip.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Great time with Dave Duford from Fast Strike Defense. I think that's a good product. I think it's a good option. It really, really is. I meet so many of my students who wrestle and struggle so much with the concept, the idea of taking another human life. For some people, it's really, really tough. You know, I really honestly don't remember the first time I dealt with that concept. I guess it was probably way back when I was still 17 years old. I was thinking about going into the military, and before I joined the Marine Corps, I had to decide, okay, can I take another human life? And apparently I decided that I could, because I joined the Marines, spent 6 years there. And then when I started to carry concealed, I had to think it over again. Because you're talking, you know, that's like, a couple of decades later before we got the right to do that here in Michigan. So, yeah, I had to think about it again. But for me, I guess it's not as tough. It's not like falling off a log, certainly. But for me, it's like I'm thinking, what happens if I don't use deadly force? Is my wife going to die? My son Phoenix or Cedar or Amethyst, am I going to die? And those are all things that I just can't live with. You know, one of my children or my wife dying or me dying, that's a unacceptable scenario to me. So for me, yeah, I don't want to use deadly force, but it's a foregone conclusion that if I'm legally and morally justified and I can't get away, yes, I am going to use deadly force. But like I told Dave, 85% of all altercations do not rise to the level of deadly force, meaning you can't do it. You're not legally justified in doing it. So some guy gets up in your face and he wants to fight and you don't want to fight. You need some type of less than lethal force in order to get him to back away. And quite frankly, I don't care what you do. I don't care which less than lethal method that you use. Personally, I think it's a good idea to have a redundancy backup there. You know, have your gun for the worst case scenario. Have a knife. Have pepper spray. Have pepper gel. Have the fast strike. You know, whatever tool you choose, whatever method you choose, become proficient at it and have it as a backup, because you can't always use that gun. And you know what? Sometimes altercations will start out just with a push and a shove, or even just with some harsh words, and then they escalate. So you've got to follow that force continuum. You can't jump from, hey, you're a dirty, rotten SOB, to, okay, I'm going to shoot you now. That's not the way that it works. So follow that force continuum, but you've got to have the tools and the know-how to use the less than lethal force, or else it's really no good to you. You don't even have that option. And, you know, be careful of the martial arts. I'm not saying don't do the martial arts. What I'm saying is most martial arts are more art than martial. So if you're going to get into that kind of stuff and rely on open-hand defense, which I highly recommend you have some open-handed moves, because, you know, close quarters combat, you might need to lay hands on somebody. But take a couple of moves, learn them well, keep them simple, and keep them strong. Because in the heat of combat, you might lose your head. So when that happens, it's all muscle memory from that point on. So learn those moves. Learn them right. Have some type of less than lethal backup. And then when the crap hits the fan, don't stand in front of it. Get out of the way. And if you got to use your gun, you use your gun. And then, well, then you'll need firearms legal protection. All right. Well, hey, next week, what are we going to have? Well, we're probably going to have some more hunting stories. And I hope to have a picture up on Facebook in the next 24 or 48 hours of my big buck. But first, I have to shoot it. So don't hold your breath, but I'm going to do it. You know, I am going to use deadly force on this big buck. There'll be no fast strike. There'll be no pepper gel. I'm going straight to my crossbow on this one. So, mark my words, be waiting for that picture. All right, if you're wondering about my diet, I'm still on it. I'm still down 10 pounds, kind of leveled off a little bit. But I went on vacation and gained back 2.5 pounds, but that's all gone again. So I'm back on my schedule, feeling good about that, working out, trying to, just stay as fit and healthy as I can. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!